Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, Kevin. They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him on the 40-yard line.
Our next guest, you can hear him on the Westwood One Radio Networks doing NFL games. By the way, that was an actual play-by-play of a man running on the field. Our next guest, he was just named the Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Media Association. It's our old buddy, Kevin Harlan. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on with you, and happy 4th of July.
What does that mean, Sportscaster of the Year? Who did you beat out?
Well, about everybody. I was on a national level, so everybody that you see on a Sunday or Monday night or throughout the year. Michaels has won it about four times. Jim Nance has won it about four times, but it's got a litany of incredible names over the years. Lindsey Nelson and Jim Simpson and Kurt Gowdy and Ray Scott, Pat Summerall, Bob Costas, Dan Shulman has won. Mike Tirico won a couple of years ago, and Mike Emmerich has won the last three of the last 4 years, and Vin Scully won it last year. And me calling a drunk on the field probably won it for me for me this year.
So, the clincher,
so what
whatever it
fit?
Takes. I mean,
yeah, whatever it takes. Right.
That's some pretty good company, Kevin. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Your peers vote on it, and so that's what makes it so meaningful. You're not in this business to get awards, certainly. You're in this business to kind of live out a dream of covering games, broadcasting games, and I've been blessed to do that over many, many years. So this was very unexpected. I was stunned when they called in January, but the most gratifying thing is the people that do what you're doing voted for you in this award, and that's what makes it so great. I had a couple of those winners, people I just rattled off, call and tell me that the best thing about the award is that you know it was voted on not by a committee of two or three people that may not be doing exactly what you do. It was voted on by people that do exactly what you do, and that means a great deal.
Think about that. I mean, these are some of the greatest sportscasters that you just rattled off that have won the last few years, and they're voting for you. That's a great feeling.
Well, it's terrific. I mean, there's no one I respect more in the business than Dan Shulman or Mike Tirico, and certainly Doc Emmerich, and Vin Scully is the greatest baseball announcer that this country's ever had, maybe ever will listen to again, although there have been some good ones in Chicago with Harry Carey and Jack Brickhouse and so many wonder, and Pat Hughes now. Pat Hughes is one of the great voices of Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But I grew up listening to Jim Durham do the Bulls and Joe Tate on 3WE in Chicago and Ernie Harwell on WJR in Detroit. Growing up in Green Bay, we used to get those stations off the Great Lakes pretty easily at night. So those are the voices I grew up listening to and tried to pattern myself after. So I have great respect for everybody in the business, and certainly those names I just rattled off are some of the names the voices I still hear to this day in my head and who I aspire to be.
You know what? That's interesting that you say that, because when you were rattling off those names, I went straight back to my childhood. My mother was a Cardinal fan and my dad was a Cub fan. I grew up in Peoria, which is in the middle of the state. And I used to fold papers back in the day when they have the afternoon paper out. And I used to watch Jack Brickhouse. So I would listen to Jack, watch him, then I'd go deliver papers, and then at night we'd have dinner, and my mother would have Jack Buck on the radio on WMBD in Peoria, so I would listen to Jack Buck. So two great announcers I got on almost on a daily basis.
We're lucky to be in the Midwest, because some of the greatest announcers ever, including Costas, who is from the East Coast but really established himself in St. Louis on KMOX.
Right.
You know, Wayne Larrivee used to be on WGN for many years calling the the Chicago Bears.
The best.
I was actually an intern under Wayne in Kansas City when he left. Before he left for the Bears, he was doing the Chiefs, and I followed him doing the Chiefs, but was an intern for Wayne in Kansas City. When I was young, my dad was the PR director for the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals from 1965 to 1971, and Sundays were the days that he would take me. I'd go to church with him. We'd go down to Busch Stadium, and part of my ritual on Sunday afternoons for home games for the Baseball Cardinals was sitting in the back of the booth as a 7, 8, 9-year-old kid, and I'd watch Jack Buck and Harry Carey broadcast the Cardinals on KMOX radio. And then he went to the Green Bay Packers to work in their front office, and I used to work as a statistician. I'd be a runner. I'd go get, you know, coffee or water or whatever for the announcers. So I would see Ray Scott and Pat Summerall and all these great Frank Gleiber and all these great, all these terrific, wonderful announcers that would come into Lambeau to do games. So my dad gave me the chance as a kid to watch these guys up close, firsthand, and kind of in back of the curtain, and that's really where I caught the bug.
I mean, and think about it. Your dad worked for the Green Bay Packers, one of the greatest franchises in the history of the NFL. So you were...
Well, that, you know, I mean, we were blessed beyond measure in that regard. He always included us. I got to work as a ball boy during the summers, and then during the regular season, we'd be up in the press box spotting for visiting announcers or doing the other things I was just talking about. So he always included us. You know, my dad was a journalism major at Marquette, and he thought he wanted to be a newspaper writer and a newspaper columnist. But he kind of got into sports in a roundabout way, and he was with Al McGuire at Marquette for a couple of years as SID, then to the Cardinals and then to the Packers. So he, and I always remember the thing he told me, Pete, growing up, he said, you know, there's nothing like, you know, when you wake up in the morning looking forward to something, regardless of what it paid or what it meant, but you enjoyed the job so much that you could not wait to wake up and go to work. And that's really how I feel every time I get ready to do a broadcast. And he instilled that into us at a very young age. And I pass it on to our four kids. It's something that I treasure and something that I hope that they find themselves in whatever they do.
That's the way it should be. We're talking with the Sportscaster of the Year, Kevin Harlan. Let me bring in Kevin Powell. You got a question for Kevin?
I do. Kevin, first of all, congratulations. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, Kev. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in this business, a lot of people are willing to climb up the ladder, but also look down and grab somebody and bring them up there with them and help them out. I've had a ton of luck in this industry, a lot of great people helping me. Is there somebody who stands out for you that maybe guided you down this road of sportscasting and play-by-play that you will forever be grateful to?
Well, many, Kevin, beginning with my dad, who really took an interest. Our high school had a radio station, and so at 14, I got a chance to broadcast our high school's football, basketball, soccer, track meets, all kinds of different events on our student-run 10-watt radio station in Green Bay. And so that was huge, and I'd come home from those games, and he'd have a list of notes that he would take and listening. And then I went to the University of Kansas, and the very first voice on CBS radio calling the Super Bowl, Tom Hedrick, at that time was at Kansas, and he was the voice of the Jayhawks, and he took me under his wing. So all throughout college, I was on the KU football and basketball networks doing pregame, halftime, and postgame. So during college, I had this incredible experience by this guy that took me under his wing. And then over the years, all three of us can say that we've always had someone that kind of opened the door, gave us a chance. That is invaluable. If someone believes in you in the business, so I could name all kinds of people along the way, people that had hired me. My first job out of college was in the NBA when they were the Kansas City Kings. And then when they moved to Sacramento, Wayne Larrabee went to Chicago to do the Bears on WGN. And then I stepped in and did the Kansas City Chiefs at 24. And Lamar Hunt hired me to do the Chiefs when I was 24. And then I went and I got a job at Fox Sports when they got the NFL rights. I left the Chiefs and went to Fox Sports. And Steve Sable at NFL Films, the late, great Steve Sable, had listened to a lot of my work for the highlights and NFL Films. And Fox went to Steve and said, give us three names in the NFL that you'd recommend for our new NFL package on Fox. And I was one of the names he gave. And so he was a person that helped me along the way. I mean, I've been lucky every step of the way. Somebody has kind of stretched out and given me a hand and opened a door. And so when I got that award, as I said, with my family there, my wife, who is really the reason why I was in that position, I said, we're all products of people that have helped us along the way. And those are just some of the names of people that have believed in me and given me the great opportunities and opened the door. And that's what I'm forever grateful for.
Boy, that list, I mean, there's Hall of Famers in there, people that we know, that we grew up with. And I was telling Kevin off the air, about 7 years ago, I think you came to town to do a Bear game, and for some reason I got your phone number, and we had you on the air, and you've been gracious ever since. We've never met in real life. I've only talked to you on the phone. And I sent you a text last week congratulating you after you won, and I said, hey, I'm going to be on WGN. And you, within 30 seconds, you responded, you said, yes, absolutely, I'll do it. So, I mean,
well, I grew up listening to the station, and I know you inadvertently through the business and your kindness over the years. And listen, it's a thrill to be on WG. I cannot tell you how many times I listened to games growing up on this station. And so to be on is a real thrill, and I'm happy to do it to great people in the business like yourself.
I love it. Well, I'm going to ask you to hold on because I do want to talk a little football with Terrell Owens, the Hall of Fame ceremony, and the NBA.
Great.
Okay, can you hold on 1 second? We're talking with Kevin.
Abs, I'm sitting on the banks of Lake Michigan on vacation with my wife, so she's rolling her eyes at everything I say, but I'm happy to stick around. I'd enjoy that.
Well,
I'd enjoy that.
Where are you right now? What city are you in?
We are up in Sister Bay at JJ's Dock and Bar, and we brought our little 17-foot Montauk up from Fish Creek.
Okay, I wouldn't expect anything less.
And we're looking at the boaters and sailboats, so we're having a good time.
I love it.
Well, you can sip a drink while we're in commercials, okay? Hold on
the line. Okay, we'll do that.
Sportscaster okay, of the Year by the National Sports Media Association. We're talking about Kevin Harlan, but first we need to check traffic. Violetta, what do you have for us? WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're talking with Kevin Harlan from Westwood One Radio Networks. Now, besides football, you also do basketball. And the news this week, of course, LeBron going to L.A. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought he was going to stay in Cleveland because he's got an eighth grade son who's a terrific player. But the kid's probably going to go to IMG or one of the great academies for basketball in the country. And I'm not sure how much he would have been in Cleveland to begin with. They've got a home in California that was always rumored. I think he's infatuated with that market for purposes outside of basketball. If he were truly interested, and there's no doubt they're going to be better, but if he were truly interested in a championship and chasing Michael and chasing Kobe, Michael with the 6 and Kobe with the 5 championships, he would have gone for a couple million and gone to Boston or gone to a team that is ready to make that move and challenge, you know, the likes of the Celtics or the Golden State Warriors or Houston or whoever. So this is clearly a move because I don't know that the team he joins, at least when he signed, now Rondo has joined and they've got JaVale McGee who's joined out there too. I don't know that it's appreciably better than what he's got in Cleveland, but his interests in film and production and in being in a big market and finishing this stage of his life, probably that is a good vehicle for him to be in.
Right.
In Los Angeles, in that market. So I guess I can understand it. But in terms of chasing a championship, I can't see them in that conference battling Houston with Paul staying and re-signing and with Golden State the way they are and other good teams, Portland and other teams in Utah, which is a rising team. It's going to be very, very difficult for him to win another championship, I would think, if he stays in that scenario.
I'm more intrigued personally by the NBA now with this move from LeBron because the East all of a sudden is wide open. LeBron's had a death grip on the Eastern Conference for about a decade now, if not longer. And now all of a sudden he's in the West, and it's going to be Golden State, L.A., or Houston likely coming out of the West. The East is all of a sudden wide open. I kind of like this. I think it adds some more intrigue and interest to the NBA if there wasn't already enough.
Well, I agree. And think of this, is that we've got Boston with two All-Stars who did not even finish the season. Hayward, who is injured and an All-Star coming from Utah as a free agent,
right,
signing with Boston over last summer. Then he broke his ankle in the first 5 minutes, but he was an All-Star out for the year. And then Kyrie Irving was injured late in the season. They never got the benefit of him in the postseason. So you got two significant players that are coming back to an already good Eastern Conference Finals team. And if they can kind of build around that with a free agent or two and get some luck with some of their draft picks, you know, this is going to be a stronger team, a better team with one of the best young coaches in the NBA. You know, there's always Washington, and there's a building Miami team, and Toronto had the best record in the East, and they're looking, obviously, with a brand-new coach now to do some different things. But Boston, to me, seems to be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Drives me crazy that no one's talking about the Bulls. Nobody.
And no one's talking yet.
We're not doing anything here. I think I can run the team better than Gar Forman.
Kevin, do you like where they're at right now, the pieces that they've added over the past two drafts or so?
Well,
no. Kevin and I remember the 90s when you were 3 years old.
No. They're still a year or two away from competing. I get that, but this is a rebuild, as they've said. I guess your thoughts on the state of the Bulls. You think with Markkanen and LaVine and Wendell Carter that maybe they do have some pieces that they can build on?
Is Wendell Carter a superstar?
I don't know about
Carter
that.
Carter, I think, is going to be like Horford. He's going to have to. Now, Horford has evolved, and his game is stretched out, and he plays on the perimeter, and he's a special player. He'd come from Florida in two straight national championships under Donovan. And Wendell Carter thought he was going to be the big prize with that Duke team, and, of course, then they went and they got somebody else who was a little bit better, so they had two studs on that front line. But Carter is a solid, smart, classy player who reminds me a lot of maybe an Al Horford when he came in, and it will be up now to him to see if he can extend his game a little bit, play more on the perimeter, develop some nice outside skills where this game is headed.
Drives me crazy.
I think there's a GM. There's not a GM across the league that would not be interested in Markkanen. And LaVine is an exciting player, and back now, I think, as much as he can be from the injury and the blown knee, and probably the kind of player that will always have that wow factor to him. And somewhere on a good team, you're always going to have that. But their building is not finished. And these are just some of the first building blocks of
what
hopefully be a team down the road.
It's taken forever.
I'm telling you guys are all that optimistic.
It's been 1 year, Pete. They just traded Jimmy Butler a year ago.
It's been too long. We haven't won a championship since 98. I don't know if you remember. How old were you? Seven? Kevin, I want to ask you about the NFL, but I want to get Ryan in here. Ryan, you had a question for
this has been eating at me for years. I got to know, are you the voice of the announcements that we hear at O'Hare?
I am not, no, and I wish I were. Because
you've got a doppelganger.
Some extra money. No, I know. People have said that before, and I am not, and I do fly United quite a bit, and I listen to that voice all the time, but no, I am not.
I don't think that's big money, because remember Lester Holt in the early 90s did the video for the jurors?
Yeah, they still play it
with the mustache.
You're going in for the...
Oh, do they really?
For jury duty.
He got $500 for that, and that was it. And here they are, playing it more than 20 years later. Now the NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
Really quick, I got to ask you this before we bump up the news. Terrell Owens throwing a temper tantrum. He's not going to show up for the Hall of Fame ceremony. What do you think?
Listen, I think it does a disservice, obviously, to him, and we know he's a whack job to begin with. But that being said, if it's good enough for Mike Ditka to be there and George Halas to be there and all the other great Hall of Famers, none have ever missed an induction. And for him, who is a very, very turbulent choice for a lot of people, I think it's a disgrace, and I'm incredibly disappointed, and I hope that someone's going to get to him, maybe a guy that he looks up to and said, an honor like that is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You've got to go. If not for yourself, you do it for the people that supported you, but even more importantly, for the people that are before you that have made the game great enough to showcase a player like yourself. It does a disservice to the people that have been there, have been inducted. When I heard it, I thought I was listening to fiction. I could not believe that he would not be there. I'm hopeful that he's going to change his mind.
Well said. I hope he does, too. Kevin Harlan, the Sportscaster of the Year. You enjoy vacation with your wife. It's great to talk to you, buddy.
Pete, Kevin, everybody, thank you so much. It's a real honor to be on WGN, and great to visit with you guys here before the 4th of July. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you.
Have
Congrats.
A great 4th. Kevin Harlan, it's 720 WGN.